Dear friends, this broadcast is a continuation of last week, The Roman Catholic Plan of Salvation, by former Catholic Bartholomew Brewer. In this section, he discusses works and how it affects being saved by grace. He talks about pros and cons of the Seventh-day Adventist and others. This will be his only presentation, and this talk completes his subject. His dedication is appreciated by us and especially by our Father in Heaven.
And now, Father God, by thy mercy and grace, I now receive him as Lord and Savior. Bible says right here, beloved, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. As we said just a few moments ago, Abraham was saved by faith. And that plan of salvation is valid for today. Whether you be a Watchtower member or a Mormon or Roman Catholic, it doesn't matter what your religious label or tag may be. God has one plan of salvation by faith, beloved. And oh, I would pray tonight that we would have a Holy Spirit boldness to make this very clear to the Roman Catholic. Forgive me for being repetitious. I think I also said this a few weeks ago, but as we minister to Roman Catholics, I think we must remember the fact that we just don't plow, sow, and reap in 20 minutes. I mean, these dear people have been indoctrinated, and so they must be deprogrammed to the Word of God. Like it says, John 15, verse 3, there is cleansing to the Word of God. We must not be afraid to apply the Word of God, and we must show them, anyone who's separated from God, we must show that individual that he is ungodly, a sinner by nature, a sinner by principle, until he comes to Calvary for cleansing and washing in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he exchanges his own righteousness for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then right here in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says here, to him that worketh not. In other words, there is only one way of salvation. It is not the way of human effort or good works, and we must make this clear to the Catholic community. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in a religious system. Salvation is not in sacraments. Almighty God has one way of salvation. And we cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot gain God's favor through self-effort, human striving, call it what you will. The Bible's so explicit and plain here. It says, to him that worketh not. Have one thing in common. What is it? That's right. Work. Salvation by works. For the Church of Rome, salvation by faith plus works. They all have one thing in common, a place for people to be saved by their good works. Never will I forget the dear old man in Rome going up the holy stairs on his knees. Now this precious man couldn't even walk, let alone go up on his knees. And yet there he was, climbing the holy stairs on his knees in order to gain a 9-year indulgence for each step. Now, if that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what will. And how can I ever forget the devout Catholics in the Manila Cathedral kissing the black Nazarene? How can I forget those beloved monks in the Discalced Carmelite Order, of which I was a member at one time, how they wore hair shirts. Have you ever worn a hair shirt? Try it. It's no picnic. But these precious monks, these sincere monks wearing hair shirts for penance. I remember every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night, the community of monks would take the elevator to the fifth floor of the monastery, and there we would gather along that, in that long corridor, and each monk had a little whip. And the lights would go out, and we would pick up our religious garbs and drop our trousers, and then we would bend over, and we would sing, I think it's Psalm 51, in Latin it goes like this, Miserere mei Deus, Sacrum magnum misericordiam tuam. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. And you think those monks were playing a game? I don't believe they were, and I know I wasn't. They were sincere. They were trying to find acceptance with Almighty God. And yet the Bible says right here, to him that worketh not. One doesn't have to be a pastor or a professor or a theologian to understand the plan of salvation. I remember one night we went out witnessing at a Catholic parish where Mass was being celebrated, after which time we went into the rectory to have a little audience with the parish priest. And two of the missionaries asked if I would be the spokesman, so I said to the parish priest, would you explain to my friend the plan of salvation? And the priest said, I can't. He said, I'm not a professor, I'm not a theologian. So my friend said, but you are a priest, you are a religious leader. Before I leave the rectory tonight, I would like to know something about salvation. The priest went on to say, to remind us that he was not a professor. But the priest did say this. He said, in about 4 weeks, we will have a catechism course. And if you want, you may attend this course, and you may present your questions regarding salvation. But I want you to remember that even in the Church of Rome, salvation is a very controverted issue. That's sad when the blind lead the blind. Is there anything more plain and explicit and simple in the Word of God than salvation? Because the Bible says that God has one way of salvation. And oh, my dear people, we must make this very clear, super clear to our Catholic friends. You know, many sincere people in these post-Vatican II times believe that Catholicism is changing and that she is not against the fundamental teachings of the Bible. Now, if that is true, why does Rome curse or ban or anathematize all Christians who believe the fundamental teaching of the New Testament that we are saved by faith? Pray tell me. Why does Rome anathematize anyone who believes in salvation by faith and not by works or merits, either our own or those of other human beings? Even the personal assurance to every believer of being saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is denied by the Church of Rome. I was taught that it is a sin against the Holy Ghost, that it is a sin of presumption. Now you may say, well, Rome is changing. Well, just the other day I was on the telephone speaking to a Catholic priest, and I asked him if this is still in effect for today. And he said, absolutely. He said, if you believe that you have the assurance of salvation, he said, that is a sin against the Holy Ghost. He said, that is a sin of presumption. But you see, beloved, there is a difference between the authoritative Word of God and papal opinion. Right? The Bible says, this is a record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, when I got saved out of the Church of Rome, this was one of the most glorious things that appealed to me. Even when I was a Seventh-day Adventist minister, this became a glorious truth. They do not believe in eternal security. I remember how the Seventh-day Adventists used to say, "Well, you're like a Baptist. You preach like a Baptist." I don't know what they meant, except perhaps they were telling me that I knew the Bible. I don't know. But even at that time, I reveled in this divine teaching that indeed one can have the assurance of salvation, right? And it is the privilege of every believer in Jesus Christ to know that he has eternal life. Like R.A. Torrey said one time, not merely think so, not merely hope so, not merely to believe so, but to know it. And my dear people, as we present the plan of salvation, I mean the biblical plan of salvation, in contrast to the Roman Catholic plan of salvation, I think we will want to share this fact that indeed a person can have the assurance of salvation here and now. You know, the Council of Trent, which was started in the 16th century in order to combat the 16th century Reformation, the 16th century Council of Trent condemned justification by faith. Council of Trent, which is headed up by Jesuits and Dominicans. For example, if you look at Canon 9, 11, 12, and 13, you will see that the Church of Rome bans or anathematizes anyone who believes in salvation by faith. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, that's Trent. Well, Vatican II has not changed anything from the Council of Trent. And Pope John the 23rd and Pope Paul the 6th have made it very, very clear that there will never be any doctrinal changes. Remember one time I said that Rome changes in order not to change? Think about that, please. Rome changes her tactics, but never her character. And so the 125 curses of Trent hurled at those who disagree with the so-called infallible church are still in effect for today. In other words, the Council of Trent, and hence Vatican II, curse those who hold that men are fully justified through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, tonight, praise God, we're under the curse of Rome, but under the blessing of Almighty God. She curses those who say that confidence in the divine mercy that forgives sins for Christ's sake is the only means by which we are justified. She curses those who assuredly believe themselves justified by faith alone. Maybe you didn't know that, but that's true. And I think what's interesting, even the Bible, I mean, I like the King James, that's what I use, but even the Catholic Bible comes under the curse of Rome. Isn't that something? You say, prove it. All right, listen to this, please. This is from Romans chapter 3, verse 28, the Catholic Bible, the confraternity edition. Romans 3, 28, for we reckon that a man is justified by faith independently of the works of the law. Heresy? No man. That's truth. That's divine truth. And then, for example, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Having been justified, therefore, by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves, for it is the gift of God. And then Romans chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, and we're dealing tonight with Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But here's what it says from the Catholic Bible, but to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the impious, his faith is credited to him as justice. Thus David declares the blessedness of the man to whom God credits justice without works. Isn't that something? And today, like never before, the doors are so wide open. I reach our Catholic friends with the Christ of Rome, never the Christ of the Bible. There is theological revolution, ferment, chaos, division, deep division today within the Church of Rome. And as we said one time, the Pope says one thing, the hierarchy says another thing, and these dear Catholic people are caught in the crossfire of a great theological debate. And they're asking, what is the content of faith? Whom do we believe? And you and I can point them to the unchanging Word of God. And so, right here, we have evidence from a Catholic Bible that there is only one plan of salvation. Sometimes I have a feeling, or the hunch, or the suspicion, perhaps that we're not willing to go far enough with the Catholic in showing him the contrast, the vivid, the dramatic contrast between the Bible plan of salvation and the Roman Catholic plan of salvation. There is a difference, beloved. And I think as we've witnessed to these people thoroughly, effectively, with preciseness, we must show them indeed that there is a radical difference between the two plans of salvation. You know, all the heretical forms of Christianity have abandoned the Bible as the final authority. Not only do they believe in salvation by works, but all of them have forsaken the Supreme Court, namely the Word of God. And consequently, the Church of Rome teaches her people to do the best they can, try and keep the golden rule, follow the Ten Commandments, just pray, pay, and obey. And perhaps you'll get to heaven after spending a little time in purgatory. The Church of Rome requires the practice of good works and the ministering of the sacraments by the Roman Catholic priesthood for personal sanctification, in order to keep the people in the dark, to control them and the nations of the world. As I think of the seven Roman Catholic sacraments tonight, here you have subtle control devices placed on these dear people from the cradle to the grave. We must show them that there is no saving grace in any sacrament, in any ordinance. And so the Bible says right here, to him that worketh not. And then it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world. The law was given to show people their sinfulness, their utter need of a Savior. Even though I was in Seventh-day Adventism at one time, by God's mercy and grace, back at the seminary, I began to discover that the law, like Luther one time said, is a mirror. And when you look at the law, it shows what a religious thinker you are and how you need to come to Calvary for washing in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, those of us engaged in Roman Catholic evangelism always hear from the Catholic, well, don't you believe in good works? About five of us were out the other night at a church in La Jolla. In fact, we covered three churches that night. That's a good Bible number. And a lady who gave, a very sophisticated, attractive lady, who gave the impression that she is a professor at one of the universities, she said to us, well, don't you believe in good works? I'm sure as you dear people witness from day to day, you will come upon people, especially Catholic people, who place that question before you. Well, don't you believe in good works? Well, of course we do. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So good works are important, and they have their proper place. I think it's always good to refer the Catholic to James chapter 2. It says that works are the fruit of our faith, the evidence of our faith, but it's the faith that saves, not the good works. And a true born-again individual who has the Holy Spirit of God will have the motivation to indeed work for the Lord Jesus Christ, not in order to be saved, but because he has been saved already by God's grace and mercy. And so it says, to him that worketh not. There may be someone here tonight trying to get to heaven by good works, by water baptism, sacraments. Maybe you think there is salvation in a church or in a priesthood. If you belong to a church that teaches salvation by works, then I'd say separate. I wouldn't waste a moment in that church. Separate. It may be a cult. It may be the Church of Rome. It may be a left-wing Protestant church. I would say separate. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Then it says here, who believes on him. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, beloved, that without faith, we cannot please God. And so we are to exchange our own righteousness for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that he is willing to cover us with the garment of salvation and the robes of righteousness, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. I pray that no one here will go about establishing his own righteousness while not submitting to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we will exchange our own righteousness for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we will share this kind of message with those who have another gospel. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are wealthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that we will not neglect so great salvation. Father, again, we thank thee for thyself, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the blessed Spirit of God, for the cross, for the Word of God, for the opportunity, Father, to proclaim the Word of God from this great local church, Scott Memorial Baptist Church. And Father, we would pray that you honor our effort tonight to proclaim the Word of God. Father, give us a special concern, a special burden for those who are lost in religion. Father, as we declare or teach the plan of salvation, especially to our Catholic friends, Father, may we not water it down, but rather may we declare all the counts of God. Father, we pray this sincerely in the name of thy beloved Son. Amen.
Jesus said that.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on cephas-radio.com. In case you can't follow it, cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. Cephas-Thrift-Shop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.